What's up, everybody? It's your boy C, and you're here with the House of Single Fathers podcast. It's our first episode. I'm joined by my co-host J10, and my other co-host CJ. I can't remember if I did it for us.
There you go.
How can we hit y'all up on social media?
And J10 of Coastal Savage, that's me. But on Snapchat, you hit me on LLJ10WILCOX. My IG is Coastal Savage _ Sweet J10 Jones, J10 Jones. And my Facebook is JAYTEN J10, JAYTEN Jones.
And you can hit me up on the IG at CJ Coastal Savage. Hit me up on Facebook at Charles Porras, and Snapchat is KAC Porras 1113.
And of course, I'm at District Champion Records on all social media platforms, at Down in Texas Eats on Instagram, at Turkey Bag Mafia on all media platforms. Y'all make sure to like and subscribe to this video if you want to hear more. It helps, you know, get the word out and make the videos really spread and stuff.
Let me tell you, y'all gotta go look at Down in Texas Eats. He just started it up, but he's putting down some good food all the time. Good presentations, tastes great, and you gotta go check them out.
Yes, sir.
Definitely.
Try to cook up a little bit here and there, you know, get it in while I can.
I feel that. I mean, I be trying to cook, but man, sometimes the single father shit, I might just sit down at the end of the day, I holler at my daughter to come in. Pour some Cap'n Crunch and some milk.
Right.
It goes like that. Sometimes you come in and you're just too tired to do anything.
Shit, Cap'n Crunch go hard, though.
Yeah.
I mean, like, shit.
That's a treat. What do you mean?
If there's a woman in the house, she's like, hey, don't be feeding that baby that, but shit. The baby's good.
I think that just depends. You know what I mean? Everybody gets tired, bro. Everybody gets tired. And just wants something simple for the day. Me, myself, simple shit for me is when I have my kids, it's like eggs and bacon, you know what I mean? Something quick.
PB&J's save lives.
Hey, I'm telling you.
Yeah, my son usually just cooks hot dogs or something for himself, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, we send that first round. We'll get on that. We got a hilarious story about little Cash.
All right, man. So I guess first off, I see all this Coastal Savage merchandise right here. What's going on with all that?
Man, that's the bread and butter. That's our way out. We started out, we all from the refineries. Me, him, and my buddy Kerry Cooper. We all grew up together in San Leon, Texas, out by the water. We done had our fair share of trials and tribulations and catastrophes and everything, but we made our way into the refineries. CJ and Coop, they had a tough day one day when I was having a tough day in separate plants. And
yeah, it was a terrible day. I tell you, it was probably 115 degrees. We were in slicker suits. If you work in the refineries, you know what that is. If you don't, it's a very thick plastic raincoat with pants and boots.
In the middle of summer.
Yeah, rubber gloves, middle of summer, full face mask, breathing air, the whole nine, and it's just horrible. I sweat like no other. I get so hot and so sweaty, it's like I jumped in a pool and come out of it. And so it was horrible, man. We go to, after get done doing what we're doing, we go to cool off in the truck, and I just look over at Cooper and I'm like, man, there's gotta be something better. We gotta start doing something.
So they gave me a phone call.
Well, J10's been telling us for years that we needed to start doing something that we needed.
Just like a product, a name. I mean, because everybody's inventing stuff, you know what I'm saying? Like, and us and the refineries, if we could have invented something, we'd have did that a long time ago.
Yeah.
We were like, man, we need to push the product, push the brand. And they gave me a call. I had a shit day too. And like, hey man, what do you think about doing this? And we all were Dirty Hooker fans. We had Dirty Hookers on the back of our Chevrolets. Yeah. And we're like, man, we need something like that.
I think every truck I've had has had a Dirty Hooker.
CJ, first thing he said was, oh man, we should try Coastal Savage. Well, we went for two names, like one word. We had a list of them, went through, and it all came back to Coastal Savage. And we were like, yeah, we need to push something. I happen to have a buddy that I hit up one day, Martin Gonzalez at Space City Printing in Houston. Top line. Everything you see here that says Coastal Savage came from him, except for the stickers. We got those at Primetime Garage, professional vinyls. But yeah, Space City Printing, he put out everything for us. And so we're just trying to hit like a water brand, not just a fishing brand. It's you and your family out on the boat enjoying your day. The guys surfing in California.
I said that's something that I always tell everybody, because you know, as soon as they hear it, they think fishing, and we do live on the coast, so everybody always associates it with a fishing brand, but it is a water sports brand. We plan on doing.
We love, I mean, our fishermen.
Oh man, that's what? I mean.
But we got all kinds of people. Like if you look over here, show them that 76 hat.
Oh, 76. Yeah, this is our.
Yeah, that's the Trogets, man. Yeah. Bubba's Garage.
The driver.
And he's a dirt track driver. He goes everywhere and he kills everybody on the track.
Man. Yeah, he's always.
And so he slapped a sticker on his car. Cooper hooked him up with a couple hats and everything. We got him on an entry fee or two. And I mean, we're real community based. You know what I'm saying? We want to wide out worldwide. But we love our community. You know?
We have a little bit. We've you know, pushed some of the product to other parts of you know, just not just here in the United States. You know, I know his dad took it to Belize. I have a friend of mine that took it to Scotland.
Yeah.
So I mean,
yeah, my dad on the first order, I got from, like I said, Space City Printing. Martin hooked us up with some shirts and some hats. Me, CJ, and Cooper started out with just a hat. And then we sent all our merchandise with my dad and my brother to Belize. And then when they got back, I'm like, man, who'd y'all hook it up with? He was like, man, we got a bartender who's got Coastal Savage gear. We got, man, the guy that takes him out on the scuba diving trips, mm-hmm. and the local weed man in Belize. So everybody in Belize, if you're doing anything, you're going to see one of these people, you know what I mean? So shout out.
He had a friend and his dad that went and worked in, where was that at, Justin?
Virgin Islands, St. Croix. Shout out to all the local 2232 Houston Lorites out in St. Croix. Y'all doing y'all's thing, and I appreciate everybody sending me the pictures of the Coastal Savage stuff.
Everywhere.
Yeah, that's badass, man, getting it out there.
Yeah, man.
We're trying, you know, it was just the thought of, you know, hey, we're all single fathers, and we all have kids to feed, and we all want to come up in the world, you know. And
we'd much rather spend our time out on the boat.
Oh, man.
With our kids.
And that's how I grew up, you know, out on the water, fishing, going boogie boarding, going, you know, getting pulled in tubes by the boat, you know, I mean, just always out on the water. And it didn't even have to be, you know, in the Gulf of Mexico. We'd go to the Lake Conroe just hang out, man.
Being out on the water, man, that's like your second life, you know. I feel like my body feels better out on the water.
Definitely.
Yeah, I see a lot of merchandise. What's some of the next things y'all are going to do?
We're into everything, really. Anything that you're possibly going to need when you load up your truck to go out to the beach. I mean, we got some lures set up. We're trying to get with some rod companies like Abu Garcia and Lures Concepts, see if we can do some like a collab with them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do some mix-up rod reels.
Yeah.
And,
we've also been thinking like skimboards. Doing skimboards.
Custom skimboards. CJ does carpenter work.
I do custom carpentry.
He builds out skimboards and stuff, so we were thinking about getting him to build some out and putting a logo on them. Speaking of that, CJ's custom carpentry.
Yeah, go hit me up on Facebook, guys. Go check it out. I believe there's an Instagram also.
Yeah.
Go check me out, CJ's custom carpentry. If you can dream it, I can build it.
Yeah, man, he makes some badass stuff. Seen some deaths that he made that were live.
Yeah, last minute, man, I was trying to do my birthday deal. Mm-hmm. I hit CJ up. I sent him one picture of this desk that I wanted for my daughter. And it was like one of the old school, like barnyard type desks.
Mm-hmm.
School desk. He made it where the top flips up. He did chalkboard underneath it to where you can write inside of it, set it down, put all your stuff inside of it, set it down, perfect height for her. Now, she's only 5 years old, and she can ride on now, and she can grow into it. It's perfect for her.
I mean, as an adult, he can sit under it, and she's got a stool big enough that she can sit at it. So it's something that she can grow with, you know, just something that I figured.
Yeah, I do appreciate
she would like that. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it came out real good. I know y'all have a bunch of different hustles, both of you. I know y'all do a lot of stuff with dogs and what is it?
Man, Junior, your partner with TBM, me and him set up. Now, I've worked with 50 different people with these dogs, and nobody had really the same vision, so like we all split up. I've been friends with Junior forever, and he kind of had a different goal in the beginning, and then we all came back and we met in the middle with the same vision. He's got pressure canarios. We actually call it pressure house. He's got pressure canarios. He's got Frenchies. I got a Frenchie. I got two Frenchies. He's got XL bullies. I got XL bullies. He's got pockets, beautiful pockets. Gunner, you remember?
Yeah, Gunner's.
Man, the next upcoming.
Yeah, that's going to be the wildest pocket.
It's crazy, bro. I had pockets 8 years ago, and I didn't have not one with that structure. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
I got some XLs. I got a Merle. My Frenchie, Nate Dog, and Snoop Dog, they're up like brand new pups, but they're coming up this next year. We should be having some Frenchie litters. But really, we weren't trying to do no puppy mill stuff. We got a couple dogs of each of our favorite structure, the best look, the best coats, and we're trying to make a look. We're not out here trying to make money. We're trying to have the best dog for a family.
Structure
and code. And really, we just be networking with everybody. So, like, if somebody wants a Rottweiler, we don't have one per se, but we network enough and talk to these people enough, we can find you the best one out there.
Yeah.
Same thing with the Yorkies. And sorry, y'all, that's my baby. She's moving around. Hey, baby, go sit down and watch a movie. But we can get you Yorkies, anything out there, because we're out here talking and just showing love to all the communities. And but the bully world is so crazy. We met a lady when we just got into the Frenchies out of Kansas City, and Dorianne, shout out Dorianne, she got alpacas, you know, she got llamas and stuff. And you really don't see that messing with people that have American bullies, you know what I mean?
Not at all.
I got a buddy that does Rottweilers and Cane Corsos and Doberman Pinschers and things like that. So, and like you said, you know, I've been messing with bullies my whole life also. So,
yeah. Well, we started out with $150 pit bulls. You know, what I mean? And I'm not going to toot my own horn, but if you ain't got $2,000, you probably ain't touching one of the dogs now. You know what I mean?
There's some badass dogs, man.
Champagne Tricolor, Blue Tricolor, Merle. I mean, those are big colors right there.
Yeah, I had a Merle 10 years ago, bro. Before Merles were even popular in the bully world, we had them. And we put out rainbows of colors of Merles all over Texas. And we love these dogs. Everything that like you said, we got a lot of things. You know, you got the Down in Texas Eats. So I'd like to be a part of that with you and everything. It's just hashtag Thunder Hustles. Just anything that you can do, you know, because when you work these 10-hour shifts, 12-hour shifts, and you got to come home and do something for you that's going to make a legacy for you, and that's what we're trying to achieve.
That's what it's about.
So, with the dogs, do you have any available for sale right now, or?
Man, so what I have is I have deals. We don't have any puppies on the ground, but we're about to link up an XL Blue from Kerrville named Sella. She's a beautiful dog. I know her whole background because it came from my buddy, AJ Guillory. And she's a beautiful blue, and she's going to come hopefully this weekend, and we're going to have a date, do an AI with my boy Tyrant. And Tyrant is crazy. He's got the perfect structure. He's a beautiful coat. He's got a creeper tri to where his tricolors are mixed into each other. He's the softest dog you ever felt, but he's also a fucking brick house.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And
facts.
He's just well-natured. He ain't looking to run down no squirrels, run down no poodles or nothing. He just want to live his life. And he's cool as fuck just to hang out
with him. For sure, ain't nobody looking to jump over that fence either.
And I tell you what, when that little girl goes out there and tells them to sit on her, you know, sit down, they listen real quick. They let her crawl all over them. But if somebody were to try to get on her, you know what I mean? There's no hesitation. So, yeah, they're good dogs. What I've been wanting to talk about this whole time is how much everybody that we're messing with right now is doing crazy things in music.
Yeah.
And so my buddy Junior, and CD. CD's been doing music forever with district champions.
Yeah.
And how did that start out? And like, how did you get to where you're at now?
And me and my buddy Murphy Mason in high school, we got together and just started bullshitting with it, you know. And next thing you know, we're doing shows every now and then. We're selling CDs, and it kind of took off. And
I bought some of the CDs.
Oh yeah, back in the day. Should we used to sell whatever we could? We sell candy.
Yeah, CDs. I was about to say, I didn't buy your CDs, but I used to hit CDs. A fucking hustler, man. I used to hit them up in between classes in high school, and have his little lunchbox, pop it open, got all the candy bars, got a few sodas and everything. You know, I know that was going towards your music and everything, because I didn't know you well enough on the music side, but I knew you in the hallway was a dude with the snacks. And check me out, boy. I'm hitting the snacks up. And CD's been hustling for a long time. But yeah, then we seen you in the talent show. Y'all killed the talent show.
For sure.
In high school. And then ever since then, man, you got with Blaze, you got with Junior, you got with AC Moody, mm-hmm. and all these guys. And man, we still be playing those things, you know what I'm saying? In y'all's videos.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, I don't see you outsourced so much at all. A lot of stuff you're not going to
do. We've always done everything in-house thus far, you know. I think we might start expanding out a little bit from now on, just to kind of lighten the load a bit here and there.
Yeah.
And, you know, you might get better quality from people that are specializing in something than just somebody who's, you know, watching YouTube videos and figuring it out. You know what I mean? But, you know, we did pretty successful for a while. You know, me and Murphy, we got to the point where we were doing pretty good and making a little bit of money off of it and everything back in the day. Murphy went to college, you know, and then I went and did my bullshit and around town stupid shit, and we kind of just fucked it off, you know what I mean? And years later, I got together with, you know, Blaze and Junior and stuff, Kush Smoke, and, you know, we kind of started getting it going again and get a little bit of leverage and stuff, and then, you know, Kush got locked up and kind of the whole, you know, everything kind of just died down a little bit, but now we're out here and trying to do what we can, and we kind of rebranding everything and you know, trying to expand our audience as much as we can, you know.
I'm not gonna lie, like the growth, you can hear the growth and you can see it, you know what I mean, and all the music. Like, you were putting out quality stuff back then, but every 2-3 years, like whenever you put out like a badass project, like you can hear the growth in each one of y'all, you know what I mean? And that's something real cool to watch. From my standpoint, you know.
Yeah, you know, we're learning as we go. That's all we can do, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Man, just speaking of music, I like how, like, we're all from Galveston County. I like how we're linking up with Kerrville, you know, because Junior's back and forth. But I like how we're linking up with Kerrville, and these guys are really pushing out music like Quan.
Oh, yeah.
I like Quan's stuff, man. He's got smooth flow. We got Justin Case was out there. Grab that drink. Justin Case was out the house the other day. And Southside, he's getting with all kinds of people, getting signed, doing crazy stuff. That's his tropical coconut, his personal drink. Man,
if y'all get a chance, go check out Justin Case. That dude kills it.
Yeah, we love all his shit. My daughter sings his songs and stuff. But, I mean.
Yeah, I jam some of his songs every day.
We like get together as like a conglomerate on different sides of Texas, but it shows that it's all love. You know what I mean? We're from whole different backgrounds and cultures, but it all becomes love when we get together.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. That's what it's about, man. You know, trying to expand and do something to create your legacy, leave something behind. Yeah. That way everybody knows who you were.
Yeah, and you know, speaking of Kerrville, we linked up, you know, me and Junior. Our Kush Smoke rather linked up with, you know, like you said, Quan. We got Twin out there.
Marcus.
Yeah, Marcus. We got, you know, a few people out there that are really like you say, Quan is really badass. He's, you know, younger. He's spitting bars, like old school bars, you know, with a new school flavor on it, basically.
A lot of substance.
Yeah, you know? Substance to it, which is like rare nowadays, you know, you hear music. Sure. And
I ain't heard nobody spit a bar that wasn't like clever, and that you can hear every word of it, you know what I mean? So,
and then Twin, he's dropping straight radio hits every time, you know?
Yeah.
Every time he gets in the studio, it's a hit, ready to go. So, you know, we're trying to make movements as much as we can, you know? We rebranded into to Turkey Bag Mafia to kind of expand a little bit and you know, that's, we got
Turkey Bag Mafia, we got the bands and stuff.
We got clothing coming and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, man, and so I gotta say, my junior, we'll be going up to, what's that place called over Johnny Dang's, the place with all the clothes and everything up top, all the designer clothes, we'll be going there.
Oh, yeah.
And Junior's spitting his game to him, you know, like, hitting him up. And man, that boy, he's got the hunger for it, you know what I mean?
Everywhere
he goes, hey, man, I'm the best. Everything we got is the best. I mean, and I admire that a lot.
He's dedicated to it.
Yeah, you gotta have dedication in anything you do.
But a couple of the guys, like, you spit out a couple guys from Curvo, man. I know they're not in y'all's conglomerate, but I want to shout out and salute to the guys down here in Galveston County doing their thing. We got Troy Trahan, yeah. Trendsetter. He got a country trap tune.
He has some badass.
Man, check that out.
Man, he sings, like he raps.
Oh, man.
That country rap, man, yeah, it's badass. Sure. Man.
Well, he's cold, and we got Trey Hill just got signed by somebody.
Yeah, I heard that.
And I fuck with him, Original Outlaw. And that boy, Brandon Arwin, Cash Fuego. So, and him, Cash Fuego and Trey Hill just did a song, Elevate My Grind.
Mm-hmm.
That was a banger.
Yeah, for sure.
And I mean, and then we got like the Get Money Click out in Galveston. I mean,
there's talent all over the place.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All over Texas.
Man, I love seeing people where we're from, like, push, you know.
Just
mean?
Waiting to get tapped into.
Yeah.
But, man, just talking about hustling. Let's talk about Travis for a minute. Our little homeboy, you know, he came up under us, but he was right there with us through everything. We were doing stupid shit when we first started, and he grew up before everybody went out, started working his ass off in the refineries, bought a house, had a beautiful son. He's got a beautiful daughter, got married, and him and his wife just opened up that Lula Fitness.
Mm-hmm. Lula Fitness off of 518 and Meadow Drive. If y'all are in local, go check them out. Classes are filling up quick. Go give them a look and see what you like about all y'all females out there. Go check it out.
What are the different classes?
She does a bunch of different classes. I think right now the majority of her classes are the chair dance classes and pole fitness classes. And then I think she has like sexy flexi or something like that. To get ready, get you stretched out and ready to do the pole dancing and things like that.
And she rents the whole place out for like parties.
She rents the whole thing out for like bachelorette parties or just girl night parties or whatever. And it's BYOB. I can't remember if she brings the setups and then they bring liquor or you have to bring everything or whatever.
It's
BYOB and you can bring liquor in there and hang out for the night and party.
Yeah, I've been seeing them all over Facebook, man. It looks like they're doing good. Looks like the classes are packed. And
oh, man, they're doing great. I mean, I asked them the other day how they were doing, and he says it's doing very well. So I'm very proud of him. I mean, he put everything he had. He went ahead and, you know, he didn't ask anybody for any money or anything like that. He didn't borrow anything. He just used what he had.
Yeah, he didn't need no carpenters or nothing.
No, he went in and put all the poles in himself. Did the core drilling on the floor so he could put the poles in the floor.
Yeah.
I mean, I helped him pull some measurements one day, but that was about it. But I mean, other than that, he pretty much did everything himself. He polished all the poles.
And shout out to Chelsea.
Oh, yeah.
Chelsea.
Yeah.
On Lula Fitness.
Yeah.
And I got to say, just because we're a house full of single fathers, man, them girls, some of them are beautiful, all shapes and sizes.
For sure.
I mean, so if y'all
unfortunately ain't they don't allow any sidelining or we'll be in there checking it out,
shout out to y'all girls out there doing y'all thing.
for sure.
But
I mean, if y'all get a minute, all y'all females out there or the men out there that have females that want to go check it out and y'all are local, go check it out. 518 and Meadow Drive, right behind the Valero.
Lula Fitness, Lula Fitness.
Yeah, Lula Fitness. I'm sure she has I don't know if she has a Facebook itself, but she does.
Lula Fitness Facebook.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. Lula Fitness Facebook and Lula Fitness Instagram. So y'all go check her out.
Oh, yeah. That's what's up. So what's up with what you been up to lately?
Man, I'm really doing all kinds of stuff. funny story. Me and Junior was at a homeboy's house, his brother-in-law's house, and he just got a new tattoo gun, a rotary wireless. And when he bought it, it came with a second one. I was like, yo, let me get that one. You know, I'll give you $150 for it. And I give me $100, so I cashed after him, brought it home. CJ's full of tattoos. I'm full of tattoos. You can't tell right now, but my legs are in here, crazy tatted. And we went and got some inks and everything. We went playing around. CJ gave himself a couple. I gave myself a couple. I gave him one. He's dying to give me one, but I'm, you know, not there yet. But so one night we had my daughter's birthday party, and I talked to one of my buddies that came in. His name's Justin also. And at the end of the night, we're full of whiskey. I'm like, yo, let me give you a little tattoo. He's like, man, you can give me a little dynamite right here, you know? So I draw it out. You know, it's ugly because I'm not a good, I don't draw very well. So I guess I shouldn't have said that if I'm but no, so I drew a little dynamite stick and he was cool with it. And I was tatting him out. Well, then Cash, Curtis the son, he takes a whole piece of paper. He's doing the POWs, like comic book pals and little dynamite sticks. And as I'm giving my buddy his tattoo, he's looking at the kid, the 11-year-old Cash. He's like, man, that shit's fucking badass. He's like, when you get done with this, hurry up. I want him to give me a tattoo. I'm like, dude, he's fucking 11.
Yeah.
You know, he's called with a pen, but he don't get the concept. He ain't never got one. He don't know, you know. I done watched 100 tattoos be done. Because I don't care, we'll teach him. CJ was like, yeah, I'll coach him into it. So he picks the one on the sheet, I'm done with mine. And then Cash is out here fucking banging out tattoos, 11-year-old. Just banging them out. It turned out pretty good.
Came out pretty badass.
Yeah, it did. It turned out
so well. And so now, next time Cash comes over to the house, Curtis, how many tattoos you got, dog?
I got 0 tattoos, but live on the podcast next week, get my first tattoo for my son.
Hell yeah.
That's gonna be live. That's good. That's something you're gonna remember forever. That's something he's gonna remember forever.
I don't even know what it's gonna be yet. I told him to draw something and
there you go.
We'll make it happen.
I think that makes it the best because it just means even more.
Oh yeah, hell yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, hopefully.
Speaking of Cash and him, you know, we said earlier he loves hot dogs. It was the same night. This boy, I've been inside, you know, feeding all the other little ones because I got 3 kids and his child was here and our buddy Travis's 2 kids were here and Cash was here. Everybody was all, you know, having fun for the birthday party and everything. And then this man, he's running around and I don't know what's going on because I'm trying to feed all the other little ones and stuff. You know, they're all asking me 1,000 questions and he comes in and we got duct tape. And I'm like, yeah, it's over here. I'm like, or we got tape. And so I know where all the stuff's at, so I reach over and grab tape, and I'm like, here, yeah, it's duct tape. And he's like, all right, cool. We got some scissors? Yeah, right here. So I get him some scissors, and I'm doing everything, and then I'm done. And he done burned off outside and came back in. He done went and found him a stick. He comes back in.
We got a fire outside.
And about this time, yeah, and there's multiple adults outside, plus several, you know, me and his buddy Justin.
And everybody's clueless of what he's doing.
And I didn't know what he was doing. I really didn't. Because if I'd have known, I'd have stopped him. But anyways, this boy, I turn around, and he's got a hot dog, and he's got a stick, and he's got the duct tape. And he's wrapping the duct tape around the hot dog in the stick. And I was like, I just couldn't hold it. I bust out laughing, man. I couldn't hold it. I was dying. And I'm trying to tell him to stop. His buddy Justin's like, no, you just stick it through the hot dog. Stop. Before we could even, this boy then cut it and was gone. And then him were dying.
And they let him come outside.
But so, like I said, there's like 4 adults outside.
But different point of view. Like, we're outside. He's inside with all the kids. Me and Curtis are outside. And Cash has been eating these fucking blow pops all night and like this. I was like, oh man, he's smoking all those blow pop cigarettes, you know, going out. And he's like putting them to the fire, warm them up, trying them. I was like, man, you should get a stick and like tie the stick to your lollipop to where you ain't gonna like lean into the fire. And he just stops what he's doing. He's like,
hot dog.
And he fucking jets inside. I'm like, oh, okay, you know what I'm saying? And so me and him are just like cutting it up. That's like completely off our mind now. Like he's gonna go get a hot dog and a stick, right?
Yeah.
Well, he comes back and he's got like all kinds of shit happening and it's dark. The only thing we can see is the fire, you know, in our faces. But he's got a whole bunch of shit on a stick. And I'm like, what the fuck? And he, as he's putting it, I'm like, hey, what is all that? And he's like, oh, it's duct tape. I said, on what? And he was like, a hot dog and a stick. I said, bro, that's super toxic. Like, no, no, you know what I'm saying? So I snatch that shit from him, I look at it. He's got the stick through the hot dog and it wrapped on there to where it won't fall off. Like, I mean, good idea, kid, you know what I'm saying? Maybe some fucking tie wire or something like that. We got all that shit, you know what I mean? I was like, but no, you know what I'm saying? Like, do not. And so, like, I'm taking it off and everything, and I go inside, and I'm talking to him and Justin, and they got 8 kids they're feeding, so their minds are, like, boggling. I'm like, how the fuck did y'all let this kid? A grown adult, how did you know this kid's about to stick this fucking duct tape in this fire?
Oh, man.
And so... You know,
at the time, I was just hoping, because I was dying. I was like, man, the
guys outside got it. Luckily, I was like, Curtis... No offense, he was in this chill, like, I don't give a fuck, you know what I mean?
He
was like,
I thought he had a hot dog on a stick, bro.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And
I wasn't questioning that.
No, no.
We've been camping before, he knows how to put a hot dog inside of a hot dog.
The first thing I asked him, too, I was like, man, you don't ever take this boy camping. He was like, we go camping all the time, bro. Like, I don't know where the fuck this came from.
But, it was hilarious.
Man, we're definitely going to have, like,
I feel like that's something Charlie would have done. Like,
but they got shit at Walmart like, for that. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can like clamp your hot dog to where it don't fall off. Like, yeah, he had a good idea.
The pokers, you know what I mean? Where you can poke it through and then just.
Boy, I mean, I love that kid, dude. He's got a good like aura around him. Mm-hmm. He's good with the little kids. He's good with the adults.
Great kid.
All around great kid. Period. But I mean, I about smack some sense in him, man. I was like, goddamn, Curtis, let me smack him.
Yeah. I got blessed with that one. He's not always using his full head though.
Yeah. Hey, but he's got art skills like a motherfucker. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Hopefully he gets into doing art instead of doing wilderness shit. You know what I'm saying?
The art would definitely be a better direction. I'm just saying.
Boy, gonna go out there and skin a squirrel and tape it to a bugger.
Tape it to a stick.
Who knows? He might become a tattoo artist.
I hope so.
Man, anything he needs or any dreams, I mean, that's what we're about. We love our kids. We love the youth. We're all about setting you up for complete success. Anything like Charlie, he just won his first Super Bowl this year.
Man, I couldn't be more proud of that. I couldn't be more proud of that. I was lucky that, you know, J-10 was able to make it to the Super Bowl, man, but... That was his whole season was fire. His first season ever playing football. I mean, me and him have always thrown football, played baseball, stuff like that. But first season ever playing football in Pee Wee. He played for the Lake City 49ers. Their record was 8-0 regular season.
What's Junior Shannon?
Junior Shannon was the head coach, one of the head coaches. And then I can't remember his last name or if it, maybe it is his last name, but they call him Coach Marshall, and then Coach Andre and Coach Jason.
Shout out them guys. Them guys
did their thing.
They were 100% in, bro. Man, they loved them kids.
We had a flawless playoff record. And then went to Super Bowl, and these kids were so hyped up. They got brand new jerseys for playoffs. They had season jerseys. And then they had playoff and Super Bowl jerseys, man. That's I'm talking about
they came out with big ass Super Bowl rings.
I got pictures of me and Charlie holding the Super Bowl trophy. I mean, I couldn't be more proud as a father. I mean, man, just the whole season as a whole, but I got to watch my son playing the Super Bowl.
Man, if I won the Super Bowl, you couldn't tell me nothing for
that,
good.
You know what?
A good few months, bro. A good few months.
That will be hitting me with it out of nowhere. Like, I'll be like, hey, man, do your homework. I won a Super Bowl.
What you mean do my homework? Yeah, I won a Super Bowl.
Allie said the same thing. Allie said she was with her friends, and they were like, and Charlie, you know, we're trying to do this. You know, you do. He's like, well, I want a Super Bowl.
Yeah. It's just random, bro.
What's it like to you?
Out of nowhere, like, I want a Super Bowl. Look,
I ain't just anybody.
He's just trying to mag on his older sister's friend. Hey, you know,
apple don't fall far from the tree.
What happened? Fall far away from my little kid. You know what I'm saying? Speaking of, Travis's son, Leland, was over here.
Oh man. I don't even want to talk about that, bro.
No, I'm going to. That was so... Hey, man, Travis back in the day did his eyebrows. He's a pretty-ass little dude, you know what I mean? And he was always on females. And man, I ain't going to lie. I might have got a little weight. But back in the day, I had a few of mine, and we had a little deal going where, like, oh, who's got the most, you know? But we all grew up, his son, bro. How old is it, Leland? Three?
Yeah, Leland's three.
And, man, he grabbed up Brandy all day the other day.
Oh, so, man, he was macking on all the kids.
Yeah, but I was saying, he grabbed Brandy's little hand.
Oh, Brandy was grabbing his hand, too.
And
Brandy was
running around. And then I went in Vader's room to get everybody to sing happy birthday. And Kmart, hey bro, I don't know if you know this, but I went back there to get all the kids.
Just to let you know.
And my buddy Kenneth Mark, his daughter Kirsten, was underneath the desk with Leland. I'm like, hey, man, you better get up off my nieces, man, you know? little Leland's wild, man. We love the kids.
Oh, man.
That was a cool birthday party, man.
Hey, it was fire, man. If I was her age and I had that birthday party, I would have been wild. No, man,
we wouldn't have done that at 5 years old.
No.
I do appreciate that. So sometimes being a single father, like, I didn't do none of the invites. I didn't, you know, set up nothing. Like, my babysitter hooked me up with the cake.
We had a great time.
CJ helped me with setting up the playhouse. Curtis cleaned up, man.
Helped with the cooking. Yeah, I mean, like, I think we all chipped in.
It takes a village, you know. It really does.
For sure.
You got it done, though.
And I know I said single father, but, man, shout out single moms, because y'all be working, y'all be doing y'all's thing, man. Too.
Anybody who's raising children on their own, or they're divorced and they're separated and they're raising children as co-parenting, I mean, shout out to all of y'all. I mean, I know, man, it's hard.
Right.
It's,
co-parenting will be live. I mean...
Honestly, I try, but I can't say that we do it very well at times.
Well, I'm just saying, sometimes, like, for me, like, I got to outsource for that couple. Hey, CJ, help me out with this, you know, girl.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'm very lucky. I mean, you know, me and her don't always agree, but I'm very lucky that she's there for my kids. I mean, she's a good mom. I couldn't ask for a better mom for my kids.
That's real, man.
Yeah, for sure.
But, man, off the kids, man, because that's where we spend most of our time, off the kids. Man, so I was thinking about this earlier, and I just wanted to bring it up because we were watching that deal with Mike Tyson the other day. How did y'all feel about that fucking Roy Jones, Mike Tyson fight?
Man, I thought that was trash, bro. Like, listen, I respect both of them as the veterans in the game that they are, because they are both amazing athletes. And in their time, they were, and even now, both of them are still in very good shape. Now, I don't know about Roy Jones. He was coming out looking like he just got off the couch.
Roy Jones,
my thing about it is, like, Mike's been off for years. Roy Jones, like a year ago, two years ago, was still fighting, you know what I mean?
For sure.
But I feel like Mike Tyson ruined Roy's body.
Yeah.
In that fight.
Mike Tyson, to me, won every round.
Clearly. Hey, bro, his whole insides is destroyed.
I feel like they were like, hey, Mike, don't fuck this dude's brain up, man. Don't hit him in the face, you know what I mean? And so he worked his body trying to take it easy on him. And he still blew his fucking body.
I hate that it wasn't like a real match, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's the only thing that was.
But I would hate.
But that's why they did it, because Mike Tyson wasn't planning on ever boxing again, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. He did it because it was like.
But what did he say?
Sparring, and it was for charity, you know what I'm saying?
What was, like, that? What was that comment that he said? And I don't remember exactly.
On the other show we were watching, right?
Yeah. Somebody was saying that he said that he went somewhere, and I can't remember the statement, so, you know, I'm sure that someone out there is going to be like, oh, this is what he said.
When he went and licked them toads, you're talking about?
Yeah, he didn't lick the toads. It's something where they get the toads irritated, and they scrape that stuff off of it. And that might have been what it was. I don't necessarily remember what they said, but he did something, or smoked it, or licked it, or whatever the hell he did. And he said that when he had that experience, the spirits, or the whatever he was listening to, told him to come back into the boxing ring and wreak havoc on the world. So, and this dude, I don't care. You, me, Trevor. I mean, you know, Trevor's a big dude. Mike Tyson is a beast.
Yeah.
I give him that, period, across the board. That dude, it still hits like a Mack truck.
Hey, man. So, funny story. Well, while we were watching this, before it ever started, me, Quan, and Junior and David, Junior's brother-in-law, we were all talking about it and everything, how badass Mike is still today. And I was like, man, you know, for the amount of money they're getting, I was like, I don't know if I, for 10 grand, I would even let Mike hit me in the face with my hands in my pockets. Like me just standing in one place, not moving, and letting Mike just ruin my jaw.
I don't know if I'd do that.
Junior was like, oh, yeah. I was like, bro, you got to think about it. $10,000 is a reconstruction surgery. Like, you're not going to have nothing left in your pocket.
They're going to knock the shit out of you.
On the cool, then, give me 100 bands, quarter of a mil, something like that. I'll get a ring with
them. Yeah, I don't know about that. I'm going to let them
go as many as I can with them.
Yeah, well, if you say any kind of million in there, then yeah.
I mean, I'm talking about a quarter of a mil.
No, yeah, but that's the same a million. You know what I'm saying? Quarter
of a million. No, what I'm saying is, like, if you get in a ring with them, there's a chance that you're leaving in a wheelchair for the rest of your life. You know what I'm saying? But I let him hit me in the face and ruin the fuck out of my jaw and like break some teeth and everything for a fucking half mil.
I mean, I'm in some bouts, man.
But 10 grand is not enough, I don't think. And Junior was like, yeah, man, standing here with my hands in my pockets, I'll eat it. He ain't breaking my
jaw. Nah, 10 grand ain't enough. I don't care what he says.
Yeah, even Quan's like, man, you ain't doing it.
I don't want to.
For me, 10 bands ain't enough because, yeah, like you said, that's reconstruction. If you're just allowing him to rock you like that, this man literally hits as hard as a Mack truck. Yeah. I mean, I don't know about now, but that in his prime, they used to compare it to getting hit by a Mack truck.
I've seen it. Like, I feel like not one punch was thrown in that Roy Jones fight. Not one punch was thrown as hard as he was in training. I was watching his training videos.
Man, his training videos were...
Bro, the dude has not lost a beat, crazy. You know what I'm saying?
He's, no, I mean, and honestly...
He might be a tad.
If you check out previous years, he did put on quite a bit of weight, but when he came in that fight, he was fight ready. I mean, that man was fight ready for as old as he is. That man was 100% fight ready. And honestly, at that point in time, to just allow that man to drill you in the face and eat a punch from him, yes, your glass jaw wired shut, stitches, you're getting your shit blown out. I mean, that's just what it is. I mean, the man definitely is a beast still to this day. And you know Roy Jones got, I mean, destroyed in that fight. I mean, it's his insides, you know.
Yeah, man, he was a whole different skin tone after that
fight. Oh, man.
And I thought at the end where Mike was like, oh, yeah, I'm good with the tie. And Roy Jones was like, well, I'm not really good with that. But, you know, like, bro, you're bad. You better be good with that, bro.
I'm
like,
not just keep disrespectful.
Hey, like, you better just take that tie and go on somewhere.
And Tyson, like, he's doing his best to live peacefully and everything, but there's always that... That click that could happen, you know what I'm saying? Wait, let's bare knuckle, you know what I'm saying?
And you know what I'd like to see though? I think I heard it somewhere or whatever, but I heard Evander and
I heard that Tyson too, but ever since that fight, man, there's been all kind of like fake ones up there, I feel like.
Man, I would love to see that. I'm just saying, as like someone who loves to watch fights, boxing, UFC. I mean, all that type of fighting and stuff. I mean, I would love to see Evander and freaking Tyson.
Man, I don't know if you ever watched Mike Tyson's podcast, but he had Evander on there. It was a really good episode.
Was it? No, I had never seen it. I might have to check that out. Yeah. I had never seen that.
I seen that one with Jake Paul and Logan Paul and Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson ate a handful of mushrooms.
I saw that, yeah.
And, I mean... Speaking of...
Jake Paul supposedly about to get into it with somebody. He's been...
Well, he called his brother out.
Yeah, he called his brother out, but he's calling somebody else out, too. He's like, look, fucking 50 mil. And I don't know if that was the one...
Oh, he's calling Connor out.
Ain't no boy supposed to fight Connor? Or no, Mayweather. No boy's supposed to fight Mayweather, right?
Logan's supposed to fight Mayweather. And Jake was calling out everybody, Conor McGregor, and Mayweather, and Dana White. And Dana White's like, nah, we got this female that'll whip your ass.
Yeah, I saw
that. Hey, you know what? I'd love to see that. I'd love to see that, bro. That would be, what?
Yeah. That'd be fun.
That would be live.
But the thing about it is, like, it's so weird to say.
But not like boxing, though. I don't think it shouldn't be boxing.
No, I mean, honestly, he's a boxer. He's not going to get in the ring and kick. I mean, and you know what? If he does, hey, that'd be awesome. I'd love to see it. But in my opinion, he's a boxer. He's not into the, I'm going to wrestle. And if he did say, I'll do that with her, she is a professional.
Yeah.
She's no joke. This isn't just some woman off the street that you're saying, hey, I'm going to fight you. No, she's going to go in on him. And, man, honestly, he probably going to have some pride in there. He might get his arm broke, get his leg broke, get arm bar, or, you know, it's not going to be nice.
Real.
I mean, that's...
Man, yeah. Young Mike Tyson.
Yeah, that young Mike Tyson was a beast. I mean,
he was
at one point the youngest heavyweight champion in the world. I mean, that dude was...
I think he still got that title.
I'm pretty sure.
I don't know if he still got the youngest heavyweight in the world, but he...
I'm pretty sure he still...
He might. I'm not 100% on that, but... I mean,
yeah, youngest heavyweight champion
in the world. Youngest heavyweight champion. Man, if you watch that documentary with Michael White... I thought that was a great documentary with Michael White. I don't know about, because I'm pretty sure it was me and you that watched it, right, Jason?
Which one?
The documentary of Mike Tyson for
with Michael White.
Yeah, with Michael White.
Man, before you get there,
I brung up Michael White on purpose, man, because that is one of my favorites.
I still think Michael J. White is one of the best of black action. Figures.
I say one of the best action figures. Period. I mean,
I'm just saying, in the black community, they put so many people up. They just put them on these low budget films or do this, do that. When he played Mike Tyson, he was cold, bro.
Oh,
every
man.
Fight movie, he's cold.
That dude's still cold. He called out somebody on.
I think he called out Mike Tyson just recently.
Did he call out Mike?
Like on doing that fight. You know what I'm saying?
I thought somebody was disrespecting somebody, and he was like, "Whoa." I would get in the ring with you and knock you out before he should. You know what I mean? Like I can't remember what it was. But anyways,
Michael White is super cold, bro. And I put him top five actors that are real fighters. You know what I mean?
Oh man!
And that's with across the board. Like we got Jackie Chan's, we got Jason Statham's, we got all kinds of action figures.
Jet Li,
Bruce Lee's, and I put Michael J. White as one of the top most fucking badass motherfuckers out. You know
for sure. For sure. I'm right there with you. As far as mixed martial arts, Michael J. White is so underrated, it's not even funny. And everything that man does, I feel like is fire. I mean, he is just completely way too underrated for what he does. That man is a beast.
So, how good you doing at tattoos?
Huh?
How good you doing at tattoos? How you feeling?
You know, I'm getting there. I'm learning. It's a learning curve.
So I did a trash tattoo on you first, the first one.
Yeah.
And you let me do a couple lines on you. And then I did a little all outline rose on myself. We didn't have the transfer paper, so I freehanded it in. It's cute. You know what I mean? Then you let me do the double axes.
Yeah, the little double axes right here on my ankle.
I did the dynamite, and then I did myself a skull rose. It turned out not so bad, but boy, I'm telling you, just I need to learn more before I start doing it.
Yeah,
I thought the skull rose was love.
I mean, it is, but that motherfucker hurts right now.
Yeah, that's what I was telling him. I did that rose that you saw on my leg, and. Yeah, I definitely should have stopped after I was done with the outline. I feel like I just was in that same area for too much. If I would have stopped with the outline, I'd have been good. Everything would have been straight and let it heal and came back. It's still a learning curve for me.
That would be badass. Like, we're already going to do a tattoo on the podcast. So any good tattoo artist that wants to come out and like, do an arm piece on me during a podcast.
Really?
We'll have you as a guest talk about whatever.
You know, me and him were talking about this a while back with one of his buddies that does tattoos, but I have a complete back that is just straight empty, and his buddy was talking about doing a piece for a convention, and anybody out there that is a good artist that's in tattooing and stuff.
And there's something that you want
to
do, and nobody's like, oh, man, we got, like, spots where we'll let you do.
I'm good. I got a whole back, whatever you want to put on there, you know, as long as it's appropriate, you know, nothing stupid or crazy, you know, but, I mean, within reason, anything you want to do, I got a whole back for you. I'll go to convention with you and everything. Let's do it.
Yeah.
I'm down.
I love all that convention shit. COVID's really fucking us on the conventions.
I don't know, man. I don't know how much space I have, bro, because I'm a little scared to get tattooed. I'm not going to lie.
Because I'm scared, but I'm going to let an 11-year-old eat my shit up.
I'm going to just have to do it.
You know, everybody always says that, especially like our partner in Coastal Savage, you know, one of our best friends, Cooper. man, never had a tattoo in his life. And one day, you know, we were talking about it at like a get together or whatever, me, him, and my dad. And we're like, oh man, me and Cooper have been talking about this. And we were telling my dad about us getting this bad apple. Because, you know, we were growing up, you know, all the neighborhood kids, their parents would always kind of look at us as the bad apples. Because we ran around, did crazy shit. You know, nothing too extreme, but we were kind of crazy. And
y'all are the reasons I turned out the way I did.
Oh, shut up. That's lies. But anyways, so we're talking about this bad apple. It's actually off of a Jelly Roll album.
Yeah.
His whole album is called Bad Apple.
That's a Whiskey Sessions.
Yeah. And so we took that and kind of made it our own, you know, and changed a few things on it and made it our own. And went and got it. Well, the whole time this boy, you know, the whole time he's like, yeah, let's do it. Well, then the next weekend comes up, I'm like, hey, let's go right now. And dad's like, yeah, dad jumps in the truck with me. I cruise over to Cooper's. I'm like, Cooper, come on, let's go. And he's like, oh, we're really going? And I was like, yeah, get in the truck, we're going. So the whole way there, I'm like, come on, bro, you getting this, right? Yeah, I'm gonna get it on my leg. Whole way. And so I got it on the back of my calf. My dad got it right here on his forearm. And like I said, we all changed them up a little bit, so everybody's is a little bit different. But this fool was watching me get it on the back of my calf. My dad's getting his, I'm getting mine. He's got to wait on an artist. And so he's sitting there watching me, and, you know, of course it hurts. A tattoo hurts. It's a needle. You know, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and go, oh, it don't hurt, bro. Yeah, it hurts. It's a needle going in and out of my skin. Yeah, man,
I get it the whole time. And I got sensitive spots on my feet.
It's not like, oh, yeah, it feels awesome. It's lovely. I do enjoy getting my tattoos, but, yeah, it does hurt to a certain extent. And this fool's watching me get it, and he's like, how's it feel? Is it okay? Or should I go? I'm like, look, man, for your first tattoo, if you don't want to get it there, the best spot to get it is right here on your arm. You know, either there or there. You know, that's the best place to get it. And he's like, yeah, I think I'm going to get it on my arm. Like, I was having to talk this fool into getting that tattoo. Because when he started getting it, he was like, oh, that ain't that bad. You know, I had videos of him getting the tattoo, and I was messing with him. And
Coop
I was
got like, the mama's boy art piece.
Yeah, he actually got mama in the bottom of it. That's like, cool. in the veins of the apple, because it's a skull. They got, like, mom in the veins of the apple. It was actually...
Yeah, because he told his mom, his first tattoo.
Tattoo would always have mom in it, yeah. My dad, he's crazy. Cool. He got the freaking little cholo worm, and he got an 8-ball in one of the eyes, and he got weed leaf on the top of the apple, and it says gone bad at the bottom of his, which I thought was pretty cool. I was thinking about doing something like that, adding to mine, but I just got the apple, and then on one of mine, one of his eyes is like a glass eye, so...
Come here.
We all changed it up just a little bit, but it turned out real good.
Come here.
It's something that, you know, we all have.
Don't hit that. Come here.
So what do y'all think about that Donald Trump pardoning Lil Wayne?
Man, I think that's just super live.
I think that's awesome. Pardoned Lil Wayne, Kodak Black, and I think it was like 139 or 143 people in total.
Yeah.
They pardoned like 143 people or something like that. And that's, I mean, I think that was awesome.
Shit, I was just happy for Lil Wayne because, I mean... Badass dude. Like,
yeah.
That's one of my favorite artists of all time.
Growing up, everybody was on Wayne. You know what I mean?
I think, in my opinion, he's one of the top artists of all time that had such a big impact on the industry.
So I don't. So
I had one of his very first CDs. I did. I don't know if I still have it, but I had one of his very first CDs when he became like real big solo.
Yeah.
You know, and it,
yeah, so I don't know how this is gonna work. Cause I know he knew he was gonna go down. Like he knew he was gonna. Yeah. So he sold.
He got all that money.
He made $100 million. But really, if he's not going to jail, is that $100 million? Is it still worth that?
I don't know. See, because I really don't know what he sold. You know what I'm saying? I just heard rumors or whatever. But what all did he actually sell? You know what I mean?
I think he sold all his masters for $100 million. Which I think technically, if you're free and you're able to push that stuff, you can make way. Well, can make way more than that.
Well, he's got other outlets also. I don't know if he sold all the stuff that he was doing with Truck Fit.
That's what I'm saying. Other brands and all kinds of shit.
Yeah, that man has been making money.
He has money coming in different ways, I'm sure. You know what I mean?
Years, bro. Not just one outlet. I mean,
then I've seen some people saying he sold all the rights to like Drake and them. I don't even know. You know,
all the Young Money, right?
Yeah.
One, two,
Because I don't know if that's even real or not. You know what I mean? You can't believe half the shit you see online.
I'm not 100% on you know, what he did or didn't sell or anything.
Okay, so the charge was the gun possession.
Yeah, it was a possession of the firearm.
To me, like, I've been seeing it all over saying that, you know, being a rapper is one of the most dangerous careers. I mean, and I know we don't really want to talk about it, but like the Nipsey Hussles, the Mo 3s, the King Bonds and everything, like, how are you expecting these guys not to be carrying? You know what I mean? I understand some of them might be felons, some of them have this or whatever, but somebody with them at all times has to be able to protect themselves.
Yeah, that's sad. You know, if you nowadays you're doing good, people want to come after you. You're a target automatically. And
hey, I mean, it's horrible Bootsy says it all the time. You know, you can't live in the city that you came from when you get big like that, because all they ever want to do is drag you back down to where they are. You know,
yeah, they even shot Bootsy, and he's a whole damn killer.
And that was ignorant. I mean, in my opinion, I mean, Boosie don't play.
Yeah, man, Boosie the big man.
Hey.
Like,
that ain't no joke.
I'm telling you, Boosie and Gucci you don't fuck with.
Nah.
So, but, I mean, I think it's live. And, man, on that, you know, same, like, when I was talking about Junior earlier, about how he was like, man, my shit's live, my shit's blah, blah, blah. Like, Kodak, when Kodak was like, oh, I'm better than Wayne, you know, like, what gave you the right to? Like, I understand, like, you can't say, like, he can say that. But there's a lot of people out there that were mad about that. But why not? Why not say that about yourself?
I mean, you know, me personally, I don't agree with that. But at the same time, I understand what he was doing as far as speaking that into existence.
Yeah, you have to. Because
he's pushing himself. You know,
pushing his brand too. You know, if you sell plastic bottles, you want to tell people it's the best plastic bottle that exists. Oh, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Or what are you doing? If you don't believe in it, then you're not going
to
make other people.
There's an old school bodybuilder man that I listen to. His name's C.T. Fletcher. He does motivational speaking. And that's one of the things that he always says. If you want to do something in life, and you want to do it great, and you want to be very, very successful at it, you have to become obsessed with whatever you're doing. You know, and people say, oh, being obsessed with something is a bad thing. No, that's how you get to where you're going. That's how you take whatever it is that you're trying to do and you make it great. You make yourself great. That's athletes are obsessed with whatever they're doing, 100%. Whether it be football, bodybuilding, track. I mean, they do this year round. It's not just something they do on the side because they're obsessed with it. And that's how they, you know, push themselves to that point.
I mean, like, so with this Coastal Savage stuff, with my dogs, everything, like, hashtag Hunter Hustle is what I'm always saying, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, any kind of venture, like, if we get into the food industry, I want to be there with you. You know, I'm trying to join with everybody I can and get into stuff. And, man, sometimes you catch me on Snapchat just out of my mind talking to myself, man. Self-motivation, self-promotion, self-invest. I mean, you have to push this stuff to, like, shove it down their throats till they're sick of hearing it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whenever I call the guy to get a job for work, because we got a guy that's supposed to call out, hey, man, we got this job. Well, in between jobs, if they don't call you, that's because there's not a job. But whenever he goes to do the call out of 900 people, he needs 30. So you might not be on that phone call. But if I call him every day, or I show up to his office every day, hey, man, you got work. No, not today. Show up tomorrow, man. Drink some coffee with him. Hey, man, you got any work, bro? Sit there. You got to be in their face. You know what I'm saying?
You got to put yourself out there.
I'm here. And the only way that you'll get rid of me is if you put me on a job. You know what I'm saying? The only way you'll stop hearing me push and push is whenever I get that success I'm looking for.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
I'm going to shove this down your throat until you're sick of it, until you listen to what I say. You know what I'm saying? And it's not because I want you to believe it as much, you know, it's, I believe it that much.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that I have to do this, and you're a part of it. You know what I'm saying? And if you just give me a little feedback, hey, man, I love them hats. You ain't even got to buy one. Just get on the page. Oh, I love your hats, man. You guys are doing a great job.
Yeah.
I know these guys personally. They're good guys. Just anything, man. Because
that support that actually does more than mine. People don't even realize it.
You know, I mean, and like you're talking about the 100 Hustles, you know, with the carpentry business, man, word of mouth is everything.
Yeah.
I mean, that custom carpentry, I've been doing it, you know, with my buddy and his dad for years, and he has got more customers off of his word to mouth, you know, from customer to customer, than he has off of promotion to ever. You know, and nowadays it's a little different because we have all of these social media platforms to plug into and expand. Yeah, but at the same time, that word of mouth, man, is still...
And social media, a lot of it is word of mouth.
That's, exactly.
You've seen what your friends are up to and, oh, they're going here, doing this, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, I just think, like, in order for you to do it, you have to be insane. You have to be crazy. You know what I mean?
I mean, you got to push it crazy.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Not like off a straight jacket.
Yeah,
but like, you just gotta be like you said, obsessed with it.
And that's the truth, man. I mean, I'm real big into, you know, being obsessed with whatever your goal is. You know, and if you don't have that obsession with it, you're not gonna make that goal. That's just what it is. You know, if you don't have that obsession, you're not gonna get that goal.
Hey, go hang out there and make sure he don't come in here. Look at him. He's thinking about messing everything up. My friend, she's in there like, man, all these cameras look like they look real nice on the ground.
Yeah. On the floor.
Look like they taste good.
Love you, Beta. That was my beautiful little baby. But yeah, man, I enjoy this little thing. We've been sitting around how long thinking about a podcast? Just
For a while.
I've jumped in on a couple of podcasts for my cousin. Shout out to them. In the thick of things. Like and subscribe to them too also.
It's pretty badass.
They
talk about all kinds of stuff in there.
Oh yeah, man. I've been over there and we're talking about some crazy stuff. Like, I think this last one that I was watching was their title was Dreams and Raccoons and stuff, and they were talking about this one time where my cousin, they had a problem with raccoons getting in the house. And they got up there and messed up the sheetrock and fell through the ceiling on top of my little cousin while he was asleep. Yeah. And he woke up to them falling on top of him.
Oh, no.
It was crazy. Got up, and then he didn't want to sleep in the room after that, right? Because like, I don't even want to be in there. And then so he was sleeping with his older brother, you know, he was sleeping there. And Malachi said he was asleep and then, like, moved his foot and he forgot that Mikey was in the bed with him and moved his foot and his hair had touched his foot. Well, in his mind, that was a raccoon. Said so. He jumped up and threw the covers on top of Mikey and started freaking going at him. And it was funny. But, yeah, they were talking about a bunch of different stuff, dreams and all kinds of other stuff. How, you know,
man, like, raccoons. Bro, a raccoon's fucking up a full-blown pit bull. Hey, no.
Nah, I don't necessarily agree with that, man. My dad's got...
Bro, they got opposable thumbs, bro.
And you can say that. You can say that, but here's the thing.
Some of the dogs get like 40 pounds.
My dog, Nipsey, and his dog, Dean, literally killed 4 different raccoons in one night. Then, in that same week, killed another 3 possums. I mean, because they're getting in the yard. That's their yard. That's their domain. So they're coming in that yard, and those dogs are ripping them apart. I mean, they come out there, and I've personally seen it. The bones are jello. They have done destroyed these
little savages.
Dude, I'm telling you, it's crazy.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, not all dogs are like D. You know what I'm saying?
I'm just saying, I don't necessarily, Blade was like that. You know, my long time.
I've seen fucking raccoons.
Oh, I'm not saying that they're not capable of protecting themselves. They're very much capable. Yeah. Like, go ahead, go touch a raccoon. I'm not getting close to him.
Beta, get your dog, please. That's why I wanted you to go sit on the couch.
Go on the couch
and get him out of here.
Yeah, I ain't messing with no raccoon. I ain't even messing with no cats. Anything with claws or some scratches? No, that's
straight.
I'm not big on cats either.
They're like little scratches. You're not even bleeding, but it like swells all up, and it's like, oh my god.
Bro, I'm saying a cat hits you, bro, it hurts a little bit.
I've had a cat.
Imagine like a goddamn one of them big cats, bro.
I had a cat when I got that pit bull when I was younger. I was probably about 12 years old, and my sister, or 11, 10 or 11, something like that. My sister had like 3 or 4 cats. Well, we get this pit bull, and one day I'm chilling, coming in the house from school or whatever, and all of a sudden the pit bull comes in the house. He's been getting beat up by this cat going in and outside. Well, the cat's inside. He comes in the house, and he's ready to kill this cat. And this cat's climbing up the wall, going crazy. My mom's trying to grab it. I grab it. It bites me. She grabs it, bites her.
And they latch the fuck on, bro.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I've seen some where, like, they're, like, latched to a dude's face or, like, their arm or whatever. and like fucking beating the fucking cat off them.
Hey,
like,
raccoons are the same way. When I was a kid, when I was a kid, one of my dad's good friends had a baby raccoon, and he would get these big welding gloves, and he'd put these welding gloves on so he could pick it up. And this thing would just go crazy on those gloves, and he's like trying to hold it, and it would be like, it was a baby, like that big. I think
baby raccoons are pretty tight, though.
Everyone I know that's ever had a raccoon has a story where the raccoon done fucked them up.
I don't want them to do it.
I don't want one. But, man, okay, so with that being said, I've done as so junior, and shout out Bishop. I have this weird thing where I want like a crazy animal, you know what I mean? I done tried to get a 3-foot alligator from a guy at work. He's like, where's he gonna stay? I was like, man, I have a pool in my backyard. Like, you see me walking down the street with a trained alligator.
It's been a murder. Pit bulls, bro.
Fuck no, still's fucking. But another thing I wanted to, like,
I know you mean gator eating the dog, bro.
Still's a bad motherfucker, but it's getting murdered.
Still gonna grab him by
his
ass.
Six-foot gator eating his ass. Five-foot gator. I don't give a shit if he's 3 foot.
Okay. Well, another thing I wanted, I was trying to get Junior and his people to capture me a black bear. Like a baby black bear?
Come on, man.
Because, like, a grizzly bear is massive. A black bear, like, can hang out in the house.
But the kangaroo thing.
The kangaroo.
That's kind of live. I can get in.
I ain't gonna lie.
The kangaroo will box your eyes out, though.
I ain't gonna lie. A buddy of mine, when I was young, his dad had a little monkey. And it was like,
what?
Yeah, just a little tiny ass monkey.
Man, like,
just
a monkey would be bad.
And he was cool as shit. Like, he'd come and chew with you and shit. He'd come sit on the couch and he'd be eating and just, like, watch TV with you and
like,
shit.
I would like to be like a little fingerling monkey, but I'm always afraid that he's gonna, like, throw shit and it's gonna hit me in the eye and I'm gonna have pink eyes. You know what I'm saying? Monkeys are fucking, you know, they're cool, but they're nasty too.
Like, that's your fear, is he's gonna throw shit at you?
Like, what else? Like, if a monkey freaks the fuck out, like, you're little boom. You know what I'm saying? But, like, so me and Cooper were at Pasadena. We were bouncers at the door of Silver Spur or something. His girlfriend and all of them were bartenders. We're at the Pasadena Rodeo, and this dude comes in. They're like, oh, you have to have this. You have to have this. Blah, blah, blah. You get in. You have to be a Silver Spur member. Well, this dude shows up with a lemur with a diaper on.
That's cool.
On his shoulder. And he let the lemur get on me. The lemur was, like, being sweet on me, like, licking on me and shit. I was like, hey, man, you know, let me see your Silver Spur. Oh, I ain't going. I was like, bro, you got a lemur. Get your ass in there. Don't let nobody know. You know what I'm saying? Like, if somebody says something, just be like, oh, them guys let me in or whatever, you know? He had no business being in the fucking bar, but the dude had a lemur. He let me hold it. Huh? I'll get it. Sit down, please. He let me hold the lemur. I was like, yeah, man, you're cool. Come on in. I want a fucking lemur. The tail on it was like this long. It like curled around your neck.
I ain't gonna lie, I don't even know what a lemur is, bro.
What? This shit is. Yeah, they got the long ass tails. They're like.
They got the bigger eyes or like the black around their eyes or whatever.
Oh, it looks like a Bay Cliff girl.
Oh, God, here we go. It
looks like a Bay Cliff girl. That was funny.
Shout out to my baby mama.
Come on, man.
Hey.
This is live to millions of fans.
Hey!
Yeah.
Didn't say we were smart, I'm just saying.
She's a nice lady.
We're going to get canceled in the first episode.
Right. Hey, but I thought the little monkey was cool, bro. I mean, that was cool as shit. I mean, he wasn't, like, mean or nothing, I mean.
He never threw shit at nobody.
Not that I know, but I mean,
I think all monkeys are throwing shit, though. They got to.
Yeah,
bro.
I don't necessarily throwing poop, but yes, hey, I'm sure he's throwing something.
Let me tell you why I have this fear. So, back in the day, I went to the zoo one time, and I was always into, like, the white Bengal tigers and, like, the big cats and shit.
Yeah.
You know, I like cats. The big cats were, like, my favorite.
So
we got to the monkeys, right? And there was this lady in like an all white badass jacket. She had the beanie on. And we were just like walking by, and her and her husband were like at the cage or whatever. And this one monkey was like scratching those balls, doing all kinds of inappropriate shit. You know what I mean? For me to be watching at the age I was.
He's a monkey.
But then he just, like, he hung his arm underneath him like this, and, like, nobody knew what was happening. They're like, oh, look at him, and he's scratching his nuts and stuff. And then all of a sudden, he, like, looks at that chick, like, dead in her face, and she's like, oh, look, you're looking at me. And whoom! Shit all down her white shirt. Like, she was the most, like, seen person. Like, everybody else was like, where the shit? She was just, like, stuck out like a sore thumb. She's like, I'm about to ruin that white shirt. Wham! And it, like, swung across her. She's like, oh, my God! And her old boy is, like, taking his jacket off, trying to, like, wipe her off. I'm like, bro, that's not going to help.
No.
Go to the zoo, gift shop, buy her a hoodie, and throw that motherfucker away, bro. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Something.
But yeah, like, all down it, bro. It looked like he put a big shit line, like, just drew a shit line all down it.
My sister, she works at MD Anderson. They, like, take care of chimpanzees and stuff there. And, she said they definitely be throwing shit. Like, it happens a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that.
But she had got, like, like handprints, I guess you would call it, off of some of them, and got tattoos of it. It looks pretty badass.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty badass. But it wasn't like, how did they put ink on there, or they just, like, press some shit onto a paper off his hand?
I don't know.
You know, it's like, oh, man, that shit on his hand, let's get a print of it.
I don't know.
I would assume not. I'm just saying.
Oh, God.
I feel like it stepped on something.
Yeah, like, what?
Real.
Oh, shit.
Nah, but, hey, y'all, we got all these beanies for Coastal Savage. We got some ball casts, some stickers. We're trying to get something new out for you guys, but right now we're, like, plumb full of fucking beanies. So before it gets cold, holler at us. CJ's always in Galveston County, Houston area. Mm-hmm. Curtis be going back and forth to Austin. We got my buddy Junior, goes to Kerrville, San Antonio area. And really me, if you're around Pasadena, Deer Park, I got you. we will send something if you're too far away, or if we're not making a trip that way and you want it, we can send something in the mail to you. Man, this podcast is the first of many. We're going to try to, how many are we going to try to do a week?
I just want to say at least one a week, but I think we might,
step it up a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
Might finagle some more in there a little bit.
And we'll have some specials and like
we're
definitely
gonna have some guests.
We're probably gonna get some guests. Probably do some giveaways and stuff once we get some merch in.
My buddy Trent said that Troy Trahan, also single father, said he'd come out here and be on one of our shows.
For sure.
So y'all be looking out for that. He's got some new music just come out with Young City, My Struggle. Y'all just keep us in mind whenever you want to have a few laughs and just watch us be idiots.
Yes, sir. You can find all the podcast stuff at House of Single Fathers Podcast on all social media. House of Single Fathers Podcast on YouTube. Make sure to subscribe, like, comment on there, you know, on all the social media too. It really helps get the word out.
If you ever really want to get personal with us, like I said, I have all the social media, my most personal social media that I do, like, message back and talk to people on is my Snapchat, LLJ10WILCOX. But we are on Instagram, Facebook. I guess one of us needs to, like, put up a Twitter.
Man, whatever y'all do, you know, go like and subscribe and get in the comments and let us know what y'all want to hear us talk about. If y'all got anything y'all want us to discuss.
Anybody does want to buy something, where do they go? Did you say that?
Coastal Savage. Coastal Savage Facebook right now. It's just what we have. We're working on a website. But right now, as of right now, you can hit us on our personal social media.
And we'll get to you.
Yeah, and we'll definitely get to you. Or you can go to Facebook and look up, I believe it's Coastal Savage 10. If you put the at Coastal Savage 10,
yeah,
it'll come up. It'll pull you right up to it. It'll have a picture of a tiki man because that's one of our logos.
Hey, man, the funniest thing I think is if there's ever a chance that we don't get to you, like, in a timely manner, and you just wanted a hat, well, you might end up with, like, a Coastal Savage koozie, a hat, and some stickers. I mean, we're not trying to lose anybody. Like, if we're not making it to your area or you didn't send us something to send it to you, we didn't get to you in a timely manner. We're definitely trying to make it up to everybody.
I say everybody just be patient. Be patient with us. This is all coming out of our own pockets. You know, we're single fathers, and we're not only doing this out of our own pockets, but we're also having to provide for our families and stuff. So just be patient with us and give us time, and we're going to make it happen.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And, of course, you can reach me at District Champion Records on all social media platforms, at Turkey Bag Mafia, and at Down in Texas Eats on Instagram.
And Down in Texas Eats, we've got a lot of things coming, y'all.
Oh, yeah. Big moves coming. We can't talk too much about it. But, you know, I think y'all are going to be pretty excited about what's in store for you. For
sure. Let Curtis put his meat in your mouth.
Oh, come on. That's a little weird. It's a little weird, man. All right. We thank y'all for tuning in. And
check us out on the next episode.
I love you.
Peace.